turns gold. There's a cold monkey with a heart so bold, tapping on keys like they're made of pure soul. Building dreams out of digits, making websites roll. Oh, Austin Cold Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making ladies take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the consummate king of the SEO show.
Imagine finding out, like, that Google is actively telling your customers you just don't offer your best-selling service, and it's doing it with complete authority.
Right, like they're stating an absolute fact.
Exactly. A user asks a simple question on their phone, and Google confidently replies, no, they don't do that, turning away a paying customer before you even knew they existed. So, welcome to this custom-tailored deep dive.
It's a scary thought, but it's happening right now.
It really is. And we know you, the listener, are driven to stay ahead of the curve in a digital landscape where, frankly, information overload is a very real hazard. So we've done the heavy lifting for you today. Let's set the scene. It is July 30, 2026.
Hard to believe we're already here.
Yeah, time flies. But over the last couple of years, this massive, totally silent shift has fundamentally transformed how customers interact with local businesses online.
It's honestly a stealth revolution. The whole foundation of local search was completely swapped out from underneath business owners.
Without a single warning label.
Right. And most didn't even notice until they logged in to look for a specific button that, you know, used to be right there on the dashboard.
And suddenly it's just gone. So our mission for this deep dive is to explore the deliberate execution of a feature we literally all used to rely on, dissect the AI architecture that took its place, and map out exactly how you can navigate this completely new terrain.
Which is absolutely critical if you want to survive locally.
100%. We're pulling the core insights from a really fascinating July 2026 breakdown. This was published by Austin Code Monkey, which is an AI search and SEO agency based out of Texas.
They've been doing some incredible tracking on this stuff.
They really have. They are operating right on the front lines of this shift. And what I love about their report is it bypasses all the usual industry panic to deliver like a total masterclass in adapting to how search engines actually process data today.
Yeah, their breakdown is crucial because it focuses purely on structural mechanics. It forces us to stop looking at Google Maps as, well, like a digital phone book and start understanding it as a dynamic generative AI environment.
Which is a huge mental leap. So let's start in the graveyard of manual features.
The graveyard, yeah. Lots of dead features there.
We have to establish the timeline here because the specific dates prove this wasn't just some sudden glitch or an accidental rollout. This is a deliberate strategic shift by Google to remove human intervention. The big headline is that Google Business Profile Q&A is officially dead.
Dead, buried, and totally paved over.
Right.
When you look at the sequence of events, it tells a story of clear premeditation. Google knew exactly what they were doing.
So I'll lay out the tombstone dates, and then I really want to get into the why. It started on July 31st, 2024. That was the day Google discontinued the Google Business Profile chat feature.
Which was the first domino to fall.
Yep. Then a massive blow on November 3, 2025. Google shut down the My Business Q&A API.
Oh, that was huge for agencies.
Right. For anyone managing multiple locations, that API was the backend pipe that allowed third-party software tools to read and respond to customer questions at scale.
You literally couldn't manage a franchise without it.
Exactly. And finally, exactly a month later, on December 3, 2025, they commenced the phase-out of the public Q&A section on the profiles themselves. The box is just gone.
Which means visitors stopping by a business profile can no longer see or interact with traditional Q&A threads at all.
They just don't exist for the user anymore.
Right. But we have to look at the causal mechanism behind this. Google didn't just wake up and decide to annoy small business owners. Think about what that manual Q&A section had actually become by late 2025. It was a complete moderation nightmare.
It was a mess. I mean, you had competitors literally spamming each other's profiles with fake questions.
Yeah, malicious questions, fake reviews, disguised as questions. And beyond this spam, you just had massive abandonment.
People just forgetting about it.
Exactly. A user would ask something like, do you offer emergency plumbing on Sundays? And the question would just sit there unanswered for 6 months because the business owner, I don't know, lost their login credential.
Or they just got busy and stopped checking.
Right. And from Google's perspective, providing a bad user experience is an existential threat. They realized they could not rely on millions of busy, distracted small business owners to manually curate accurate data in real time.
It's essentially like Google taking the steering wheel out of your car. For years, you used to type the answers to your customers' questions in this neat little designated box.
You had total control.
Right. A customer asks, "Do you have validated parking?" And you literally reply, "Yes, we validate for 2 hours." You were driving the narrative. Now, Google has revoked your typing privileges entirely. They've basically decided that humans are the bottleneck.
What's fascinating here is the overarching pattern. It's an efficiency play at a global scale. Google is methodically retiring communication features built for humans to manage manually, replacing them one by one with systems managed automatically.
Just removing us from the equation.
We're moving from human-curated micro-interactions to machine-generated macro-summaries.
But, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. Customers haven't stopped wondering about parking or gluten-free options or turnaround times. They still have all the same questions.
Oh, yeah, the demand for answers is still there.
So if the human business owners aren't answering those questions anymore, who or what is talking to the customers?
Well, this is where the paradigm completely fractures. The entity answering the customer is Gemini.
Enter the new era of Ask Maps.
Welcome to the future.
Seriously. The Austin Code Monkey report details how Google rolled out this conversational AI experience directly inside Google Maps. Instead of a user scrolling through a list of static 3-year-old Q&A threads hoping someone already asked their specific question, the user simply types naturally.
They just ask it like they're texting a friend.
Right. They type, "Does this place have outdoor seating?" Or, "Is this business good for a loud group of 15 people?" And Gemini synthesizes an instant answer on the spot.
The user experience is so frictionless. They receive a bespoke conversational paragraph addressing their highly specific nuance in a fraction of a second.
It feels like magic to the user.
It does. But the mechanics behind how Gemini constructs that answer is where businesses are completely dropping the ball right now.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I think a lot of people might assume Ask Maps is just a glorified search bar.
Which is a huge mistake.
Right, like if Gemini is just scanning a business's website and pulling keywords from reviews to find an answer, isn't that just traditional indexing? I type a question, Google scans the web, it surfaces the relevant text. Why is Ask Maps a fundamentally different model?
That assumption is the trap. People constantly conflate indexing with synthesizing.
Which are completely different things.
Completely. A traditional search engine is an indexer, functioning like a highly efficient librarian. You ask the librarian for a book on outdoor seating, and they hand you a stack of 10 books that contain those keywords. The librarian says, "Here you go." You read them and figure it out.
So the user does the reading and all the cognitive work to find the answer.
Correct. But Gemini in the Ask Maps environment is a synthesizer. It is not handing the user a stack of links.
Yeah.
It is speed reading the website, analyzing the sentiment of hundreds of reviews, cross-referencing the core Google business profile data, like the hours, the services, the amenities, and then generating a net new definitive answer on behalf of the business.
Wow.
The librarian has basically been replaced by a proxy spokesperson.
A proxy spokesperson that you didn't hire, you don't control, and you definitely can't fire.
Exactly. And what happens when a highly articulate spokesperson doesn't have all the facts?
They just make it up.
Gemini's synthesis is only as good as the raw data it consumes. If your core Google business profile data is sparse or your website lacks structured text, the synthesis is fundamentally compromised.
That sounds incredibly convenient for the hungry user pulling up maps on their phone, but it raises a massive red flag for the business owner. I mean, what happens when the AI tries to cook a 5-star meal without all the right ingredients?
Well, then we enter the territory of authoritative hallucinations. This is easily the most dangerous aspect of the 2026 search landscape.
The Austin Code Monkey source outlines this danger with a pretty chilling scenario. If your Google business profile is incomplete, say you just skipped a few attribute checkboxes because you were in a hurry, or you left your service descriptions super vague, Gemini still has to answer the user's prompt.
It won't just say, "I don't know."
Right. It works with the limited info it has. The crazy part is, in the logic of an AI model, the absence of data is frequently interpreted as negative data.
Yes. So if a restaurant fails to explicitly state they have high chairs, and Gemini cannot find a clear mention of high chairs in the reviews or the website schema, the LLM doesn't typically output, "I'm not sure, you should call them."
Which is what a human would do.
Exactly. Instead, it confidently generates the output, "No, this location does not offer high chairs."
The report phrased this in a way that really stuck with me. They said, errors at the Gemini level are worse than a blank Q&A section because they look authoritative.
That's the scariest part. A blank Q&A section just looks like a neglected profile. The customer might see that and still call the store to double check.
Right, they'd give you the benefit of the doubt.
But an AI generating a confident, grammatically perfect paragraph stating you don't offer a service. The customer accepts that as absolute truth and immediately taps over to your competitor's profile.
The analogy I keep coming back to is that Gemini is like a highly confident, wildly articulate, but slightly uninformed intern that you've just put in charge of answering all the incoming company phone calls.
That is a perfect way to look at it.
Right. This intern sounds incredibly professional, but they possess a deep-seated fear of saying, "I don't know." If you do not hand that intern a meticulous, totally exhaustive script, they're going to guess the answers just to fill the silence.
And they will sound entirely convincing while doing it.
While feeding the customer completely false information.
And to make matters more volatile, that intern isn't just reading your official company handbook. They are heavily influenced by the graffiti on the bathroom wall.
Oh, meaning the review.
Right. Gemini relies on customer reviews as a primary training source for local synthesis. The report highlights that a cluster of reviews mentioning a specific complaint or keyword will shape the AI's answers, regardless of the business owner's preference.
So if three different patrons leave a review complaining that the background music was too loud, and a user asks Gemini, "Is this a good place for a quiet romantic date?" The AI is going to synthesize those complaints.
It absolutely will.
It will completely bypass your carefully crafted ambiance description and say something like, "Actually, multiple patrons note that the atmosphere can be quite loud and disruptive."
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we are looking at a profound philosophical shift in digital marketing. For the last two decades, businesses controlled their narrative directly.
You wrote what the customer saw.
Exactly. You wrote the website copy. You filled in the Q&A box. You determined the exact words the customer consumed. That era of direct control is completely over. You can now only influence your narrative indirectly by engineering the raw data that the AI feeds on.
It's like we've gone from painting a portrait on a canvas to designing the genetic code of the paint itself, just crossing our fingers that it grows into the right picture.
That's exactly what it is.
So that leads to the million-dollar tactical question. If we can't type the answers into the box anymore, how do we write the underlying script for this highly confident AI intern to ensure it stops hallucinating and actually gets the facts right?
Well, we move into the machine readability playbook. Identifying the threat is only step one. The Austin Code Monkey report provides a very specific architectural response to the Ask Maps era.
Step one is foundational, almost deceptively simple, really. Meticulous completion of the Google business profile.
Every single field, I mean it. Services, descriptions, attributes, hours, special holiday closures, accepted payment methods.
No cutting corners.
None. Business owners can no longer afford to leave a field blank just because they assume it's irrelevant to their specific niche. To a large language model, every single data point is an anchor of truth that prevents a hallucination.
So that locks down the core Google ecosystem data. But step two is where the strategy gets highly technical and incredibly interesting. You need to build a dedicated FAQ page on your own website.
Yes.
Now, for an audience that follows SEO, an FAQ page isn't a new concept. We've all built them. But the utility of the FAQ page has undergone a radical evolution.
It really requires a complete reframe of how we view structured markup. We have to look at the schema shift.
The report highlights a major industry event from May 7, 2026. Google officially deprecated visual FAQ rich results.
That was a huge day in the SEO world.
It was. For years, if you marked up your FAQ page with JSON LD schema code, Google would reward you with those visual, expandable drop-down menus right on the search results page. A user could read the answer without even clicking your link.
Which was a massive incentive for SEOs to implement the code. It completely dominated screen real estate.
But on May 7th, those visual dropdowns just vanished. A lot of practitioners assumed that marking up an FAQ page with schema code was now a total waste of development time, since there was no longer a visual payoff on the search engine results page.
Which makes sense logically if you're only thinking about human eyeballs.
Right. But the Austin Code Monkey data reveals the exact opposite. FAQ page schema is actually more critical now than it ever was. It has transitioned from being a visual decoration for human eyes to serving as a direct machine readability layer for AI brains.
It is the difference between installing a giant neon sign on your roof versus handing a meticulously detailed digitized blueprint directly to the city planner.
Oh, I love that analogy.
Right. The neon sign might be gone, but the blueprint is what the AI engines actually use to construct their answers in the back end.
The data backing this up is wild, too. Mid-2026 industry tracking shows that pages with valid FAQ page schema are 3.2 times more likely to appear as the cited source in Google AI overviews compared to pages with just plain text FAQs.
A 3.2 multiplier is staggering in search analytics. It confirms that this invisible structured markup is the primary extraction source. And it isn't just feeding Gemini and Ask Maps.
No, it's everywhere.
It is actively being parsed by ChatGPT Search, Perplexity, and literally every other major AI agent scraping the web for entity resolution.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The irony is just brilliant. The absolute most important tool you have for communicating with the conversational AI, the AI that speaks natural language to your human customers, is a block of JSON code entirely invisible to the human eye.
Your FAQ page is your new Q&A section. The strategic advantage is that it lives on your proprietary domain where you retain total editorial control.
Nobody can flag it or spam it.
Exactly. Instead of merely feeding Google Maps, you are actively deploying a training layer for every AI engine globally, all at the same time.
But the practitioner tactic from the report takes this a step further. They don't just paste an FAQ schema generator code on a page and call it a day. They utilize a technique called schema layering.
Which is brilliant.
I really want to break down how this actually works on a technical level, because this is where you separate the amateurs from the actual engineers.
The layering mechanism is what binds the context together for the LLM.
Wait, let me walk through the actual code structure really quick. You aren't just putting two disparate pieces of code on the same URL. You are mathematically binding them by nesting the code.
Right, they have to be nested.
In JSON-LD, you take your FAQ page array and you literally embed it inside the local business schema node or the service schema node.
You are creating a parent-child relationship in the data structure.
Yes. So when the Googlebot or, you know, the Perplexity bot crawls the page, it doesn't see a floating list of questions and then somewhere else on the page, an address for a plumber. Because the code is nested, the bot reads it as a single indisputable entity.
The context is locked in.
The FAQ is structurally bound to the geo-coordinates of the local business and the exact service being offered.
You are establishing absolute unshakable context before the AI parses the first syllable of the actual question. An LLM thrives on contextual certainty. If you hand the confident intern a loose stack of sticky notes, they will mix them up.
They'll give the wrong answer to the wrong customer.
Exactly. But if you hand them a perfectly indexed, cross-reference bound dossier, they execute flawlessly.
And when it comes to writing the actual questions inside that bound dossier, the strategy has to shift away from generic SEO filler. The source material is adamant about this. Stop writing questions like, what services do you offer?
It's just a waste of space now.
Right. You have to write highly specific conversion-relevant questions. Things like, is a non-refundable deposit required for large party reservations? Or what is a typical turnaround time for a commercial HVAC installation? Or do you dispatch emergency technicians to the 78704 zip code?
You must reverse engineer the natural language prompts that mobile users are actually dictating into Ask Maps.
Put yourself in their shoes.
Exactly. When a potential customer is standing on the sidewalk, holding their phone, trying to decide if they should walk through your front door or keep walking to your competitor, what specific friction point are they asking the AI to resolve?
That's the million-dollar question.
Those exact friction points must be explicitly answered on your FAQ page, wrapped in perfectly nested schema.
So what does this all mean?
Mm-hmm.
If we distill this entire architectural shift down to its core takeaway for you, the listener, it comes down to this. The era of static, human-managed, local SEO is permanently closed.
It's not coming back.
It's really not. The days of logging into a dashboard, typing a witty reply to a customer, and resting easy knowing everyone will see it exactly how you wrote it, those days are behind us.
The Ask Maps era is fundamentally generative.
And in this environment, your success completely depends on your ability to feed Gemini better, cleaner, more aggressively structured data than it could ever piece together on its own.
The industry has moved from community curation to data architecture. You are no longer managing a public bulletin board. You are architecting a machine-readable framework that forces an AI to confidently synthesize your exact narrative.
Which Which brings me to a final, slightly broader thought I want to leave you with today. We've spent this entire deep dive zooming in on local business dynamics, Google Maps APIs, and JSON-LD FAQ pages. But I want you to zoom out for a moment and consider your own personal digital footprint.
Oh, that's a really good point. The mechanics of entity resolution apply universally, not just to brick and mortar stores.
Right. Think about the implications here. If AI engines are currently synthesizing professional business entities based on scattered structured data, review sentiment, and whatever fragments they can just scrape together, what is the Gemini synthesis of you as an individual professional?
That is a highly uncomfortable question for most professionals to ask themselves.
It really is. When a recruiter, a potential business partner, or like a high-ticket client uses a tool like Perplexity or ChatGPT to ask about your background, your specific expertise, or your industry reputation, what raw data is the AI actually feeding on?
What blueprint are they using?
Exactly. Are you allowing the AI to just improvise your professional reputation based on fragmented, outdated information it stumbles across on the web? Or are you actively structuring the information it uses to define you to the world?
The intern is answering the phone for your personal brand, too.
They absolutely are. It's something to critically evaluate the next time you update your LinkedIn, publish a portfolio, or write a bio on a company directory. Are you writing purely for the human reading the screen? Or are you strategically architecting the data for the AI synthesizing the summary? Keep questioning the underlying mechanics. Keep learning how the architecture is shifting, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.
New from the Austin Code Monkey Underground Lab, the Austin Code Monkey AI Review Response Generator. Our SEO chimp got tired of writing review replies, so we built AI. Utilize it for your business because nobody opens their laptop excited to reply to Google, Yelp, Facebook, and TripAdvisor reviews. Visit Austin Code Monkey for more details at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey. Working all night, SEO wizard making rankings take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the code slinging king of the SEO show.